Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Yevamos Yud Ches. For the benefit of those listening on YU Torah, this is Elisha Greff covering for Rabbi Leibowitz, or attempting to cover for Rabbi Leibowitz today. Today we are going to pick up with a discussion with which we left off yesterday. Correct. Thank you very much for reminding me. Today's daf is sponsored L'schus Refuah Shleima for Moshe Shmuel ben Basya Bela. By certain of his friends who desire to remain anonymous, and we wish him a refuah shleima, and very much thank his anonymous friends for the sponsorship. Today's daf is a Yevamos Yud Ches. We're going to continue with the discussion that we left off with yesterday, really concerning Yesh Zika or Ein Zika. So what happens? What's the power of the connection of the Zika between a Yavam and his Yavama even before any Yibam or Chalitza is performed? So yesterday, We left off with the statement of Rav Huna, who had told us that a shomeres yavam shemesa mutar beima, that if you have a person who's waiting to have yibam performed on her, so in other words, there's a yavam and a yavama, and the yavama passes away, then the yavam is usher to marry the yavama's mother. So why would that be the case? So that would be the case because if you are married to a woman, then it's obviously usher to marry that woman's mother. You're not allowed to marry your mother-in-law. And the same holds true whether your wife is alive or even after your wife's passing, you are still not allowed to marry your mother-in-law, your former mother-in-law, because it's an Isser Daraisa. It's an Isser Evra Midaraisa. So we saw Rav Huna, who says that if we have a Shomeres Yavam, somebody who's awaiting Yibam, and she dies before the Yibam is performed, it's usher to marry her mother. Why would it be, Rav Huna says that it's mutter to marry your mother. Why would it be mutter to marry your mother? Obviously, therefore, because before the Yibam is performed, there is no Zika. There's no such connection. There's no strong connection between the Yavam and the Yavama that would cause her mother to become usher as if she were his wife. So basically, Rav Huna is saying, until Yibam is performed, she's not your wife. If she's not your wife, that means Ein Zika. Today we're going to see the Shita of Rav Yehuda, and the Gemara is going to go back and forth trying to pin the Shita of Rav Yehuda on someone. Is Rav Yehuda espousing the Shita of Rav, or is he espousing the Shita of Shmuel? And then on Amud Beis, we're going to get to a Mishnah, which is going to give us another case of Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Balamo. It's going to pick up on the first case of the Mishnah. It's going to pick up on the first Mishnah of this parak, which had to discuss one of the cases of Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Balamo. This Mishnah, the coming Mishnah, is going to discuss another case of Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Balamo. So we left off six lines up from the bottom of the Amud on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, where we are introduced to the Shita of Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda Amar, and Rav Yehuda says that shomeres yavam shemesa, if you have a shomeres yavam who dies, usur bi'ima. So if you have a woman who's standing to be taken nibam by a man, and the woman passes away, the man is prohibited from marrying her mother. So it's obvious that there's some sort of connection that's almost nisuin-like that prohibits the man from marrying his mother-in-law even after his wife's passing. So almaksavar yesh zika. So it's obvious that Rabbi Yehuda, in contrast to Rav Huna, holds that Rabbi Yehuda holds yesh zika, that there's a strong enough connection that will asser the Yavama's mother on the Yavam even if no Yibam was ever performed. So there is zika. There's some sort of strong connection which is going to cause this relationship to become asser. So says the Gemara, Savalema alacha kedivri omar yesh zika. So the Gemara says, the same question we asked when we brought down the sheet of Rav Huna initially, look, we know that there's a machlokes. There's a machlokes, tanoim yesh zika, ein zika. So if there's a machlokes, tanoim yesh zika, ein zika, and Rav Huna holds ein zika, and Rav Yehuda says yesh zika, so let Rav Huna say, I hold like the man the Amor who says ein zika, and Rav Yehuda should say, I hold like the man the Amor who says yesh zika. Why are they propounding their sheetos as if they're both original sheetos? Let them pin them. On the machlokas tanoim. So says the Gemara as follows. So iave amar hachi, if we would have said yesh zika, then hava mina iave amar hachi, hava mina hani mili b'chad. That's only when there's only one person who's standing, when there's only one surviving brother who's standing to do Yibam. Only in that case do we say Yesh Zika, because come on, it's obvious what's going to happen. You have one Shomeres Yavam, you have one woman who's standing for Yibam, you only have one surviving brother who's able to take the woman in Yibam, and therefore it's obvious that there's going to be some sort of connection. Maybe only in that case does he say Yesh Zika. Aval betray Ein Zika, but maybe if they were two brothers, then Rav Yehuda would hold Ein Zika, because it's not apparent which of the brothers is going to perform Yibum, and therefore none of them have that sort of profound connection with the woman before the Yibum is performed. That would be the Havamina. Avo betray Ein Zika, Vaha ki pligi betray pligi. And if we would have had only this case, then I would have thought, well, when does Rav Huna argue on Rav Yehuda and say Ein Zika? That's only when we're talking where there are two surviving brothers and we don't know which one is going to do the Yibam. That's why none of them have that automatic profound connection even before Yibam is performed, because we just don't know. It's a suffix. We don't know who's going to do it. Eliyamar hachi, but hanimili betray, avo betray ain zika, vahaki pligi betray. And this machlokas shows, and this machlokas Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda shows, that they argue even in the case where there are two brothers, that still in that case Rav Yehuda says that yesh zika, because he really, really holds that yesh zika. It's not only that he's pinning it on some other mandi amar. So, Eliyamar hachi, havamini michayim. And if we would have only had this case, then I would have said that that when does Rav Yehuda say Yesh Zika? That's only when the Shomeres Yavam is still alive. That when the Shomeres Yavam is still alive, then I might think that the Yavam is usher to marry the woman's mother, because for gosh sakes, the woman is still alive, she's still there, there is some sort of connection, therefore it's usher to marry your mother. Avaliachar misa pakale zika, however, after she dies, I might think that the zika dissipates, that the zika disappears. Why? Because the whole idea of zika, the whole concept of zika, is that when the woman is standing to be taken by the man in Yibam, there's some connection between the two. It's almost like a precursor to the performance of the mitzvah of Yibam. After the woman dies, it's obvious there's not going to be a Yibam, there's not going to be a chalitza, the woman's already dead, and therefore I might think that after the woman dies, even though he holds, like the Mandarmer who says, Yesh Zika, he might say that the Zika dissipates, that the Shomeres Yavam's mother would then become mutter to him. Kamash Malan, the Zika Bichti Lo Paka. So Kamash Malan, by arguing in both these cases, we see that Rabbi Yehuda says, Yesh Zika, not only when there are two brothers, not only when there are one brother, but also when there are two brothers. And what he says is Zika Bechti Lo Paka, that he holds that the mother-in-law is going to be usher to the Yavam, not only when the Shomeres Yavam is alive, but also after she dies. So this concept of Zika Bechti Lo Paka is explained as follows, that a Zika, although we're saying that the bond is sort of similar to a marriage because it causes those same relationships that are erva in a marriage to be usur in a zika too, it's a little bit different, because a marriage is intended to be permanent, even though it could obviously be dissolved through a get, but a marriage is intended to be permanent. The state of zika is inherently temporary, because the zika only exists until the Shomeres Yavam can perform, until the Shomeres Yavam has either a yibam or a chalitza performed on her. And the concept of zika bechti lo paka says that even though zika inherently is a temporary state, the zika can only be abrogated, the zika can only go away if one of those natural ends come to fruition, if either the yibam is performed or the chalitza is performed. After that, there is no zika, because if it's yibam, then she's actually his wife. If it's a chalitza, then there is no zika afterwards, because you've terminated it by performing the chalitza. However, if a circumstance arises such that it becomes impossible to perform either the Yibam or Chalitza, then that's what it means that Zika Bechti Lo Paka. The Zika can only terminate either with the Yibam or with the Chalitza. If she dies, meaning that it's impossible to perform the Yibam or Chalitza, then the Zika would continue to carry on, and the relationships that would remain usur because of that Zika, because it's sort of like it's a quasi-marriage, would continue in effect. That's what Rav Yehuda is telling us now. Salema Misayele. So let's bring a raya to this. So Yevimto Shemesa, if you have a Yavama who dies, Mutter Ba'achosa, then the Yavam is Mutter to marry her sister. All right, we know that it's usher to marry your wife's sister, but she becomes mutter to you after your wife dies. So over here, what we're saying is that a yavama who dies, the yavam is mutter to marry your sister. Ba'choseim, but the Gemara's medayik, it's mutter to marry your sister after her death. Be'imalo, but it's usher to marry your mother after her death. Why? Because even though there was never a yibam, still we say yesh zika, because yesh zika, the iser, that the iser to marry her mother continues in effect, like the Shita Rav Yehuda, even after her death. So says the Gemara, no, not a good raya. Lo, hu adin dafilu bi'ima. It's the same thing, just like it's mutter to marry your sister after her death, it's also mutter to marry her mother after her death. Because there is not this strong zika which fails to dissipate with the death of the woman. We don't hold like that. It's not a raya, it's Rav Yehuda. So in that case, why do we mention achosa? Tell me that you're not allowed to marry, tell me that you're allowed to rather marry her mother after her death. Vaidi the Tani Resha, but because it says in the Resha, Ishto Shemesa Mutter Ba'achosa, that if your wife dies, then it's mutter to marry your sister. Now, in that case, it's dafka ba'achosa avol be'imalo dahavila isura daraisa, that it's dafka the sister of your wife who becomes mutter after her death, but not her mother, because that's an erva midaraisa, and therefore your mother-in-law remains usher to you even after the death of your wife. Therefore, tananami seifa mutter ba'achosa. Therefore, in the seifa, when talking about the relationships that become usur on account of the zika, sort of comparing them to the relationships that become usur on account of the marriage, we focus on the sister, not on the mother, even though here by a zika, unlike by an isuin, where only the sister becomes mutter, by a zika, not only will the sister become mutter, but also the mother would become mutter, because this would not hold, this would not go like the shita of Rav Yehuda. Okay, so Masav Rav Huna Bar Chiya. So Rav Huna Bar Chiya is going to ask Akasha on the Shita of Rav Yehuda, who held Yesh Zika. And this challenge is from our Mishnah, which discussed a case as follows, that Reuven and Shimon were brothers, and Reuven, just to refresh, Reuven died without children, and while the Yavama awaited Yibam from Shimon, but before Shimon performed the Yibam, a third brother, Levi, was born. So Levi to Reuven is an Eshes Achiv Shlaya Balamo, because they never existed, they never were alive at the same time. So the Mishnah discusses that Shimon did not have the opportunity to do Yibam on Eshes Reuven, but he did do Maimer on the Yavama. So he did do Maimer, which is this Kedushin Derabanan, this quasi-Kedushin, and then Shimon died. So now both Reuven's wife and Shimon's wife fall to Levi, who by now is alive, for Yibam or Chalitza. So they both fall to Levi. Now the Mishnah had said that Shimon's own wife requires Chalitza from Levi, but Yibam may not be performed. Why may Yibam not be performed? Because on a Drabbanan level, she's considered the Tsaras Eshes Achiv Shlo Haya Ba'alamo, because she's a co-wife of an Eshes Achiv Shlo Haya Ba'alamo. Who is the Eshes Achiv Shlo Haya Ba'alamo? That's Reuven's wife, because Reuven and Levi were never alive at the same time. So certainly Levi would be usher to take Reuven's wife, because it's an erva of Eshes Achiv Shlo Haya Ba'alamo. The Isser of Eshes Ach was never suspended in order to do Yibam for Eshes Achiv Shlo Haya Ba'alamo. Shimon's wife, even though she was never really a full-fledged Tzara, because remember, Shimon did not have an opportunity to perform Yibam on Eshes Reuven, he only did the Maimer, so, but on a Drabanan level, because Maimer is an effective marriage midrabanan, Eshes Shimon is the Tzara of Eshes Achiv Shlo Haya Ba'alamo, therefore, she cannot be taken in Yibam by Levi. Levi must do a Chalitza on her. So that's what we had said in the Mishnah. So now, The Gemara is going to bring a raya against, the Gemara is going to try to shlug up the Shita of Rav Yehuda. So Asaba Maimer. So if Shimon did Maimer Umes, then Shnia Choletzes Velomes Yabemes. So Esha Shimon has to have Chalitza done to her by Levi, but she may not be taken in Yibam. So says the Gemara, well, hang on a second. So the Mishnah sets up the case. Taima David ba Maimer. The reason that the Esha Shimon may not be taken in Yibam by Levi. In other words, the reason that she has a little bit of a din of Tsaras Eishes Achav Shlo Yabal Lamo is only because Shimon had the opportunity to do Maimer, because Shimon did this marriage midrabanan. Halo Avaba Maimer, had Shimon not done Maimer, Shnia Yami Nami Yivume Meyavme, then Levi Lechora would have not only been able to do Chalitza, but he also would have been able to do Yibum, because Shimon's wife would not have been a Tsara of the Eishes Achiv Shlohaya Ba'olamo on any level, not on a Daraisa level, because no Yibum was done, nor on a Darabana level, because no Maimer was done. So V'yamrit, now the kasha is like this, V'yamrit Yesh Zika, and if you want to say that there is Zika, that there's already a Zika bond between Shimon and Eishes Reuven automatically, immediately when Reuven dies, then still on a Rabbana level, because of the Zika, Shimon's wife should be at Sarah of the Eishes Achiv Shlo Hayabal Lamo, and she should not be able to be taken in Yibum by Levi. So why does the Mishnah set up the case, Dafka, where the Mimer's done, which is Mashma, that's the clincher, that's the reason that she can only have Chalitza done and not Yibum. Even without the Mimer, there should still be a Zika, which should render her at Sarah of an Eishes Achiv Shlo Hayabal Lamo. So Amar Rabba, so Rabba says you're right. Hu adin di apagav delo ava b'maimer. Even if there is no maimer done by Shimon, shnia michlet chaltzay yivumi lo miyavma. Then when both of these women fall before Levi for Yibam or Chalitza, in Yibam, none of them can be taken in Yibam, not even Eisha Shimon. And even if no maimer was done, still she can't be taken in Yibam. She can only have Chalitza done. So I mean, if that's the case, if the fact is that Levi has to do chalitza on Shimon's wife, even if Shimon didn't do Maimer because of the Zika, makes it an Eishes Achiv Shlo Hayabal Lamo. So why do we talk about a case in the Mishnah where the Maimer was done? Vagdik Tani Maimer, and the reason that we talk about Maimer is to teach me a Chiddush in Maimer. Lafuke me Beishamai Damar Maimer Kone Kinyan Gomer. Because Beishamai Shita is that Maimer is Kone a Kinyan Gomer. So Beishamai holds that if we held like Beis Shammai, the Maimer was Kone Kinyan Gomer, then not only would Levi have to do a Chalitza on Eishes Shimon, then Levi shouldn't have to do anything on Eishes Shimon, because one of these women, Eishes Reuven's an Ervatim of Eishes Achiv Shlo Hayabal Lamo, and the other woman's Mamash at Tsaras Erva. And what we say in the first Mishnah in this Masechta, if you have an Erva and a Tsaras Erva that fall before you, you don't have to do Yibam or Chalitza, they both go out without anything. So if we held like Beis Shammai, that would be the case. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that we don't hold like Beis Shammai. We hold that Maimer is not Kone Kinyan Gomer. It's only on a Drabanan level. And therefore, since it's only a Tzara Seishas Achav Shalaya Ba'olamo on a Drabanan level, while she can't do Yibam, she still does require a Chalitza. So the way this Raya concludes is that there is no distinction between really doing a Maimer and not doing a Maimer. Both the Maimer and the Zika itself have the power to form this Drabanan Dika bond, which make Eisha Shimon into a Tsaras Eisha Sachav Shloya Ba'olamo on a Drabanan level. So when the women fall before Levi, he has to do a Chalitza on Eisha Shimon, but may not do a Yibam on Eisha Shimon. But why must he do a Chalitza? Because we don't hold like Beis Shammai, and we don't hold that Maimer is a Kinyan Gomer. Good. So Eisvei Abaya. So Abaya now asks another kasha on the Shita Rav Yudah. So the Rishonim just point out here that this next Raya comes from a Braisa. So how can you challenge Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda who were Tanoim on the basis of a Braisa? So the Ritva says that the Braisa is coming to expound the Stam Mishnah. As we'll see, we're going to pin a sheet on Rav Meir, who is the author of the Stam Mishnayas. And since the Braisa is coming to expound a Stam Mishnah, it's effectively as if we're asking from a Mishnah, not from a Braisa. That's what the Rishonim explained. But nevertheless, the actual Raya, so Eisva, the actual Kasha, so Eisva Abaya, so Abaya asks like this. Shnei Achen Miolam. There are two brothers alive at the same time. Echad Meis, that Shnei Achen Miolam Echad. There are two brothers alive at the same time. A Meis Echad Meem, and one of them dies below Vlad. He doesn't have kids. So V'yamad Hasheni Azeh Lasos Maimer B'Yavimto. And the surviving brother is prepared to do Maimer, to do this marriage Drabanan on the Yavama. V'lo Hispik Lasos B'Maimer Ad Shenolad B'Ach U'Meis. Then, and the, however, he doesn't have the opportunity to do the Maimer. He can't go through with the Maimer before Levi is born. And in other words, before the third brother is born, Reuven and Shimon are alive together. Reuven dies. Shimon's about to do Maimer. He doesn't yet have the chance to do a Maimer. Then Levi is born. Umeis. And now Shimon dies. So what happens here? Again, this is sort of the case that we were setting up, that we were setting up in the last raya, that we said that Mishnah should have been discussing. This is what the Mishnah is now discussing, or this is what the Brisa is now discussing, where you have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven dies. Shimon doesn't do anything. He hasn't yet done the Maimer. Levi's born, then Shimon dies. So what happens now to these women? So Harishona Yotzeitz Mishum Eishes Achiv Shloya Balamo. So the Rishona, meaning Eishes Reuven, goes out without Yibam or Chalitza, because to Levi she is an Eishes Achiv Shloya Balamo, because Levi and Reuven were never alive at the same time. They were not contemporaries. Vishnia and Eishes Shimon Ochaletzes O Misyabemes, that she could have either a Chalitza done on her, or she could have a Yibam done on her. Now remember, Eishes Shimon, as far as Shimon and Levi, there's no Isra of Eishes Achav Shalaya Balama, because they were alive ever briefly at the same time. However, Lechora, the Eishes Shimon should be some sort of Tzara to the Eishes Reuven, who was Usur to Levi because of Eishes Achav Shalaya Balama, which is the Kasha that the Gemara now spells out. V'yamrit Yesh Zika, and if you want to say that Yesh Zika, that there's a Zika between Shimon and the white and Eishes Reuven, even without any Maimur or Yibam being performed, then it should have been an Eishes Achiv. Then the wife of Shimon should to Levi be a Tzaras Eishes Achiv Shlo Haya Balama Bezika on a Drabanadika level, just like we were saying according to Rav Yehuda. And he should not be able to do Yibam with her. He should Dafka have to do Chalitza with her. So, but this Brisa tells me otherwise. So it's a kasha on Rav Yehuda. So says the Gemara, Hamani Rav Meir he. This Brisa goes like the Stam Shita of Rav Meir and the Stam Mishnah, who holds Zomar Ein Zika, that he holds Ein Zika. So you're right. In other words, this Brisa does infer, it does imply that Ein Zika. Why does it imply that Ein Zika? Not that it's a kasha on Rav Yehuda, that's a different Shita in Tanoim, because this Brisa holds like the Stam Mishnah of Rav Meir, who says Ein Zika. So says the Gemara, one second, Umis Virulei L'Rav Meir Ein Zika? Does Rav Meir really hold that Ein Zika? Vatnan, that we learn in a Mishnah, so we actually reference this case on Daf Yud, which I know only because I gave that shir also, otherwise these cases can make you dizzy. But Arba Achin Shnai Me Misuim Shnei Achios. You have four brothers, two of them are married to two sisters. And so in other words, you have four brothers, two of them are married, two of them either are single or are married to other unrelated women. And both of the married brothers, the brothers married to the sisters, die. So Achios, Arei Elu Cholotzos Velomis Yabmos. So the two sisters, they have to have Chalitza done on them, but they cannot have Yibam done on them. So we explain then, why do they have to have Chalitza done and why can't they have Yibam done? Because they're both Achos Zkukaso. Because when the two married brothers die, these two women fall to the remaining brothers, and each of them stand potentially before the remaining brothers, before each of the remaining brothers, for either Yibam or Chalitza. But each of the women is Achos, but each of the women is Achos Kukaso, is the sister of another woman with whom the Yavam has a Zika bond, because he has a Zika bond with both of them, their sisters. And just like you're not allowed to marry your wife's sister, so too you're not allowed to do Yibam with Achos Kukaso. But the whole concept of Achos Kukaso implies it only works if Yesh Zika. If Ain Zika, then the fact that Achos Kukaso should be meaningless here. So the Gemara says, V'i Salka Daitach Savara Meir Ain Zika. Now, if you want to say the Rav Meir says Ein Zika, Sahani Mitrei Bavi Kasan, Ha Liyavim Chada, Vaha Liyavim Chada. If we're gonna say Ein Zika, then let one of them marry one of the women, and let the other one marry the other woman, because they come from different houses, meaning they're married to different ones of the brothers. And if Ein Zika, then we don't have the Achos Kukaso problem, because obviously Achos Kukaso is dependent on holding Yesh Zika. So Rav Meir, we see, says Yesh Zika. So how can you tell me that this Bryce is like the Stam Mishnah of Rav Meir, who says Ein Zika, and that's why it's Cholek on Rav Yehuda? So says the Gemara, no, Liolam Ein Zika. Really, we say Ein Zika. Now, if ein zika, why do the surviving brothers have to do chalitza on these two sisters who fall before them? Why can't they do yibum? So why mishem deksaver aser levatel mitzvas yivamen? That because he holds that it's aser to be mevatel the mitzvah of yibum. We started discussing this yesterday. The dilma ad meyabim chad mayis idach vekabatlis mitzvas yivamen. So basically, as follows. That if he does chalitza, let's say one of the brothers, you have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, and Reuven and Shimon are the ones who are married to the sisters. They died; they both died childless. So the women fall before Levi and Yehuda. Let's say Levi does chalitza, and then let's talk like this. Let me explain it like this better. That you have Levi and Yehuda. Now, if Levi did a yibum on one of the women, and if Levi did the yibum on one of the women, and then Shimon and then Yehuda died, and Yehuda got married, and now Yehuda dies. Okay, so Levi already did the yibum. Now this other woman, who used to be Eshes Reuven and is now Eshes Yehuda, dies, falls before Levi to do Yibum, but Levi can't do Yibum or Chalitza because now she's an Erva, because now she's his wife's sister. So you're being Mavatal, the mitzvah of Yibum, because it's possible to set up a case where Yibum or Chalitza, where Yibum could be done on one of these women, but for the second woman, if she then falls before the lone surviving brother Levi for Yibum or Chalitza, he can't do anything because now she's Eshes, she's Achos Ishto. However, if Levi does Chalitza, then and then somehow this other woman falls before him for Chalitza, it's not a problem. You can do Chalitza on Achos Chalutzoso. You're just not allowed to marry Achos Yevimto. So basically, we've set up this case so that if chalitza is done, we make sure that at least something is done, at least something legabe the mitzvah of yibum or chalitza, at least something is done for each of these women. We'll have a chalitza. So it's to make sure that at least something is done, at least some semblance of the mitzvah is done with each of these women. So Tosfos just asks parenthetically that this whole concept seems to go against Rav Meir's general shita, that Rav Meir's generally not afraid of Shema Tamas. Rav Meir's generally not afraid of Shema Tibaka Hanod, of maybe these disastrous consequences are going to befall us. So if generally Rav Meir is not afraid of Shema Tamas, why is he afraid over here that, well, you can't do Yibam, because if you do Yibam on one of these women and then the other brother does Yibam on the other woman, then the other woman might fall before the first guy for a yibum or chalitza, and you're not going to be able to do anything because it's achosh ishto. Why is he afraid of Shema Tamas, which is the way this whole case is set up, if usually he's not afraid of Shema Tamas? So Tosfos says, well, there are different kinds of Shema Tamas. What he's not afraid of is he's not afraid of, let's say, if you have a chazaka that a guy's alive, and then 5 minutes later we ask, is the guy still alive? We're not afraid of Shema Tamas because there's such a small time gap between the time that we knew he was alive and the time that the question is being asked, between the time that the chazaka is being questioned. Over here, however, if you set up these cases, it could be many years between the time that Levi does the Yibam on one of the sisters, and then it could be Yehuda got married to the other one, and then he lives for 5 years, but then he dies with no kids, and then the woman is going to fall before Levi for a Yibam or Chalitza. So because of the time delay, Rav Meir would be Choshesh for Shema Tamas. So says the Gemara Viter, but if ain't Zika, then Tibatel. Then why does Rav Meir care? It's almost like Rav Meir Shita is contradictory. Why does Rav Meir care whether the mitzvah of Yibam is going to be batel if he holds ain't Zika? If there's no Zika, then there should not be anything. Then there shouldn't be anything real that he's afraid is going to be batel here. The Rav Gamliel Amar ain't Zika umutzer levatel mitzvahs yivamim, because Rav Gamliel says that ain't Zika, and therefore he says that it's mutter to be mevatel a mitzvah of Yibam. Why? Because again, if ain't Zika, then obviously the connection is not so great. And if the connection is not so great, then we're not so worried about being Mavatal the mitzvah of Yevamin. So why does Rav Meir hold the seemingly contradictory shita here? So Ditnan, like we learn as follows. So just to set up this case, this case also very difficult. It's one where a man was married to an orphaned katana in a drabanan marriage. So we know that a father could give out his katana in marriage, his bito katana in marriage, and if the father dies, then the girl's older brother and mother can give away the minor in marriage, but only on a drabanan, only a drabanan level. So a guy was married to an orphaned minor on a drabanadika level. Now, this girl had an older sister who was married to another guy. The other guy died without kids. So now, his drabanadika wife's older sister, who's a gedola, falls before him in yibam. So now, what happens? It's a little bit tricky, because he can't be married to two sisters. So he can't really do a yibam on the older sister, because he's sort of married to the younger sister. But then again, he's not really married to the younger sister, so maybe he should do the yibam on the older sister, because at least then he'll have a real marriage, as opposed to now he doesn't have a real marriage with the younger sister. So what happens here? So Rabbi Elazar says that we persuade the ketana to do miyun. Miyun means that she can reject the marriage drabanan and dissolve it, so that the yavam can then do yibam on her sister, because once she does miyun and that marriage is gone, then the yavam can do yibam. But the ketana cannot continue to live with her husband, because the marriage isn't completely effective, and the older sister Zika has the power to render the ketana prohibited to her husband as achos kukaso. So Rav Elazar says that basically you force her to do miyan. Why? Because if not, we have a Zika competing with a miyan, and the Zika strong enough to kick out that marriage midrabanan. And so the only choice is for the younger girl to step aside, do the miyan, and let the yavam do yibam with her older sister, and at least have that marriage midaraisa work. That's Rav Elazar. He's not mentioned here. That's why I'm explaining him outside. Rav Gamliel says, Rav Gamliel disagrees and says, Gamliel says, no, we don't have to do any of this. If she wants to do miyan, she could do miyan. If she doesn't want to do miyan, she doesn't have to do miyan. Now, what's going to happen if she doesn't do miyan? We'll wait until she grows up. When she grows up, they could consummate the marriage. They could have a bia, and she can now be married to her husband on a daraisa level. And once she's married to her husband on a daraisa level, then the other woman, the Shomeres Yavam, the older sister, just goes away without Yibam or Chalitza, because now she's Achos Ishto. So just like Rav Gamliel, now what happened here? By allowing the younger girl to stay married, we're setting up a situation where the older sister might go out without either a Yibam or a Chalitza done on her. And why can the younger girl remain married according to Rav Gamliel? Because Ein Zika. So Rav Gamliel says Ein Zika, and therefore we don't care about being Mavatal the mitzvah of Yibam. So Rav Meir, who says Ein Zika, why does he care about being Mavatal the mitzvah of Yibam? He should all like Rav Gamliel. He shouldn't care about anything. So says the Gemara, so Amar Lei, the Rav Gamliel, the Rav Meir Karamis. I don't even understand your kasha. You're asking me, why doesn't Rav Meir hold like Rav Gamliel? They're different tanan. They hold differently. So what do you care? Rav Meir says that we cannot be Mavatal the mitzvah of Yibam. Rav Gamliel says we are Mavatal the mitzvah of Yibam. Everything's great. Says the Gemara, lo, that's not what I'm asking. Hachi kamrinan. Rav Meir, chayesh afilu l'sveika. What Rav Meir is afraid that we shouldn't even run a suffek of potentially being Mavatal the mitzvah of Yibam. That's what Rav Meir says. If you have these two sisters, make sure you do Chalitza on them, because if you do Yibam, what if one guy does Yibam and then many years later the other brother dies, so the other woman falls before him? It's a far-fetched suffix, but he's so afraid of being Mavatal the mitzvah of Yibam, and Rav Gamliel, afilu levatei lo chayish. And Rav Gamliel is not afraid to set up a situation where we know with the passage of time, we know we are going to be Mavatal the mitzvah of Yibam. So the Gemara's Kasha is, basically, usually when we have a machlokes, we don't argue on the extremes. Usually, we argue sort of around the margins. We argue in the middle. But over here, we have, on the one extreme, we have Rav Meir, who's afraid for being Mavatal the mitzvah of Yibam, even in the case of a suffek. On the other hand, we have Rav Gamliel, who's not afraid of being Mavatal the mitzvah of Yibam, even when we know for sure that we're going to be Mavatal the mitzvah of Yibam. So it doesn't make sense to have a machlokes that's so far-ranging. So Dilma, mandlo chayish, afilu levade lo chayish, mandlo chayish, afilu lesveka chayish. So you're right. So, you know, but maybe that's the machlokas. Maybe the machlokas in a chanami is that the mandi amara who's chayish for being mevatel the mitzvah of Yibam is afraid for that, even in the case of safek, that's Rav Meir. And the mandi amara who's not afraid for being mevatel the mitzvah of Yibam is not afraid of it, even in a vadai case, that's Rabban Gamliel. Good. That's Rabbi Gamliel. So Amar le Abaye le Rav Yosef, Hod Rav Yehuda de Shmueli. Now we started today's shiur with the statement of Rav Yehuda who held Yesh Zika. So the statement of Rav Yehuda says Yesh Zika, is he bringing down the sheet of Rav, who's his Rebbe, or is he bringing down the sheet of Shmuel? Nafkamina, because usually Hilchasa Karav Bisurei, so you know we need to know who he paskin like, although we'll see at the end of the sugya that we wind up paskining like Rav Yehuda, even though Rav Yehuda may be bringing down the sheet of, or Rav Yehuda is bringing down the sheet of Shmuel. But Amar Le'abai Le'Rav Yosef, Hadu Rav Yehuda Shmuel, that this statement of Rav Yehuda that Yesh Zika is the sheet of Shmuel, Ditnan. Shemeres Yavam Shekidesh Achiv Es Achosa. That if you have a Shemeres Yavam that whose brother married the sister of the Yavama. So in other words, you have basically a situation like this. So Rashi sets it up. You have a woman who's married to Reuven. Reuven dies. So Ashes Reuven falls before Shimon and Levi for Yibum. And then Levi just goes, and before Shimon has a chance to do Yibum or Chalitza, Levi goes and marries this woman's, Levi goes and wants to be Mekadesh, this woman's sister. Okay, so there's a Zika. There's a Zika between Levi and this woman's sister, but Levi wants to marry the sister. So Mishum Rav Yehuda Mebeseira Amru, they said in the name of Rav Yehuda Mebeseira, Omrim lo hamtein achayasa achicha maisa. That we say that, hey, Levi, hold your horses, wait until after your brother does either a Yibam or Chalitza. Why? Because until your brother does a Yibam or Chalitza, this woman who you want to marry is Achos Kukaso, because there's also a Zika between you and her, not Lavdafka between Shimon and her, but also between Levi and her, and therefore the woman you're marrying is Achos Kukaso, you're not allowed to do that. V'yomer Shmuel, halacha Rav Yehuda ben Beseira. And Shmuel says, halacha Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, that yesh zika. So Rav Yehuda says, yesh zika must be going like Shmuel. So Amar Lei, di Rav Mai. So says the Gemara, well, okay, big deal. And if he was telling me the shita of Rav, his Rebbe, what would be the big deal? Why are we so bent out of shape of trying to figure out whose shita Rav Yehuda is espousing here? Says the Gemara, why? Because kasha derava derav. Because if it were the shita of Rav, then there would be a kasha Rava the Rav. Rashi explains, because earlier Rav said that it's mutter to marry the mother of his, Yavama before Yibam is performed, meaning that Ein Zika. So if Rav said that it's mutter to marry basically his mother-in-law through Zika, obviously Ein Zika. Now over here he's telling me, hey, don't get married to the Zika sister because there's a Zika. Now here he's saying Yesh Zika, so there's a Stira in Rav. So Dilma Amaroy, you know, Aliba de Rav, big deal. So maybe it's Trey Amaroy, Aliba de Rav. So what would be the big deal? So it says the Gemara, come on, there's clearly a preference though. Kivan ditmar mishmei de Shmuel behedya, u mishmei de Rav kadamaroy, lo shafina mishmei de Shmuel behedya, mukmina kadamaroy, valiba de Rav. That if we have two choices, one either to say that this is like the shita of Shmuel glot, that Shmuel always holds yesh zika, or we could say that it's like the sheet of Rav, and yeah, there's a conflicting mimer of Rav, but it's Shram Aroy Adliba the Rav. It's clearly preferable to establish that Rav Yehuda is saying his sheet like Shmuel. So that's why we say it like that. So Rav Kahana, Amrita Lashmaita, Kamei to Rav Zvid Minar Adah. I said this brisa in front of Rav Zvid, and he said, Amar Ason Hachi Masnisa La Anan Behedya Masnisa. That you guys have it like this, but we actually learn it Behedya. We learn it Beferish. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Shamer Yavam Shemesa. If you have a Shamer Yavam who dies, Aser Be'ima, it's Aser to marry your mother. Alma Ksovar Yesh Zika, it's obvious that he holds Yesh Zika, that's why it's Aser to marry the mother of his of the woman who's Zakuk to him. V'yazda Shmuel Atamei, and this is Shmuel according to his own reasoning, D'yamar Shmuel Alachak Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, because Shmuel says Alachak Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, and Vitzricha, we need both of these cases. Why? Diashmin and Yesh Zika, because if you would have only told me Yesh Zika, Havamina Hani Mili B'chad, I will betray Lo. I would have thought, yeah, when is Yesh Zika? When is the Zika bond so profound? When is it so strong? It's only when there's only one brother who's surviving. So we know who's going to perform the Yibam. So that's when we say Yesh Zika. But maybe when there are two brothers, we wouldn't say Yesh Zika. Kamash Malan, that we say it even when there are two. And if you want to say that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, Havimina Hanimi Lebechayim. Well, Rav Yehuda ben Beseira's case of telling the other brother to wait before he's Makadesh, the sister of his Zakuka, that's only when when the zakuka is alive. So I would know only then that the that there's an iser when the zakuka is alive. Avalachar misa pakala zika. However, after death, I might think that the zika terminates. Kamash malan the zika bechtila paka. So what we see is that the zika does not dissipate unless a yibam or chalitza is performed. If no yibam or chalitza is performed, then the zika doesn't go away, and the relatives of the zakuka are going to be usertim even after her death. So that's the that's why we need all of these cases. So bottom line, Rav Yehuda is telling us the shita of Shmuel, and most Rishonim say that we do paskin like Shmuel, because even though usually we say Hilchos HaKarav B'Yisurei, the fact that the Gemara is medayek so much in the shita of Shmuel shows that we're holding like Shmuel. Good. So says the next Mishnah. So the next Mishnah says as follows: Shnei Achim Umeis Echad Mehem. You have two brothers. One of them dies. Reuven dies. V'yavam Asheni Yaseish Esachiv. And Shimon does Yibam on Reuven's wife. V'achar Kach Nolad Levi. And after that, V'achar Kach Nolad Ach. And after that, a brother is born. Levi is born. Umeis. And then Shimon dies. So Harishona, so the first woman, meaning Eshes Reuven, the wife of Reuven, who never was a contemporary with Levi, because Levi was born after Shimon had already done Yibam on Reuven's wife. So the Harishona, Yotzes, and now Shimon, right, and now Shimon is dead. So now both these women fall to Levi. So Rishona, Eshes Reuven, Yotza Mishum Eshes Achiv, Shloya Balamo. She goes free without anything because she's Eshes Achiv, Shloya Balamo. Vashnia, and the second one, in other words, Eshes Shimon, is Mishum Tsarasa, is because she is really a Tsaras Eshes Achiv, Shelo, she's really a Tsaras Eshes Achiv, Shelo Haya Balamo. She's Eshes Achiv Shloya Balamo. So what's the chiddush? So the chiddush of this Mishnah is that what we say here is that the wife of Shimon is a Tsaras Eshes Achiv Shloya Balamo, even though Levi never ever encountered Eshes Reuven as an Eshes Achiv Shloya Balamo, because as far as Levi knows, Eshes Reuven was already married to Shimon because Shimon did Yibam on her before Levi was born. But even though he never encountered her as Eshes Achiv Shloya Balamo, still she is. She was originally Reuven's wife, and therefore she's Eshes Achiv Shloya Balamo. Shimon's wife is Tsaras Eshes Achiv Shloya Balamo, therefore they both go free without anything. So also by Maimer Ameis, now what if Shimon does Maimer and then he dies? He didn't do Yibam, but he did Maimer. So Ashniya Chaletzes Vlomes Yamemes. This is a case that we had already been discussing on Amud Aleph, that the wife of Shimon requires Chalitza, but not Yibam. She requires Chalitza because, again, on a Drabbanan level, she's Tsaras Eshes Achiv Shloya Balamo, but she's not really Eshes Achiv Shloya Balamo. That's why there is a Chalitza that's required. Rav Shimon Omer, Miyavim Lezemem Sheyirtze. Rav Shimon says that no, he could do either Yibam or Chalitza with whoever he wants. In other words, that Rav Shimon holds that this is not a case of Eshes Achiv Shloya Balamo. Why? Because the first time that Levi's encountering Eshes Reuven is when she falls to him on account of being Shimon's wife. Because Eshes Reuven was married by Shimon. Shimon did a Yibam on her. Then Levi was born. Then Shimon died. So when these women fall to Levi, she's falling to Levi not as Eshes Reuven, but as Eshes Shimon. They're both falling to Levi as Eshes Shimon. Therefore, he has his pick. He could do Yibam or Chalitza with anyone. So says the Gemara like this. So Amar Rav Oshia, Cholak Haya Rav Shimon Af Barishona. That Rav Shimon argues, even in the case mentioned in the first Mishnah and the Perek, where Levi was born before Shimon did Yibam on Eshes Reuven, so that she's still mutter to Levi, because when she falls to Levi for the first time, she falls to Levi in Yibam from Shimon, because when she falls to Levi, ultimately she's falling to Levi in Yibam from Shimon and not from Reuven. So in other words, Rav Shimon argues even in the first Mishnah, even though his descent is not recorded there. So how do we know that Rav Shimon argues in the first case? In other words, basically, the shita of Rav Shimon is, I don't care if initially she was Eshes Achiv Shloya Balamo. The question is, now, how is she falling to you? Is she falling to you from a contemporary brother or from a non-contemporary brother? And it turns out that if she's falling to you from a contemporary brother, from Shimon, it's going to be fine. So how do we know this? Midiktani Mishnah Yisera. Bava Derei Shalaman Ketani La. So from the fact that we have this second Mishnah, so says the Gemara, who's the first Mishnah? What Chiddush is the first Mishnah telling us? See Leimel Rabbanan. If it's the Shita of the Rabbanan, Rabbanan who say that she's aser mishum eshes achav shlo yabal lamo. So wait, hashta yavam ulav sof nolad. So now that we see in this Mishnah that if Shimon does the yibam first and then Levi's born, the chi ashkecha beteira ashkecha, Levi never saw eshes Ruvain as eshes achav shlo yabal lamo because by the time he was born, Shimon had already done the yibam on her. Asu Rabbanan, the Rabbanan still say it's aser so nolad viachakach yavam. So if Levi was born first before Shimon did the Yibam, so in other words, Levi at least was alive when the woman was still considered to be Eshes Ruvain. Mibai said it's a chiddush. No, Ela Lav L'Rav Shimon Itzricha. It's only according to the Shita of Rav Shimon that we need this. V'tana Reisha L'Adiach Hakochad Rav Shimon, and we learned the Reisha to teach us the strength of Rav Shimon. V'tana that even in the case where Levi was born before Yibam was done, still it's not considered Eshes Achav Shalaya Balama because when she falls to Levi, she falls to Mikoach Shimon and not Mikoach. And we learned the Seifa to teach me the Koach the Rabbana that even though Yibam was performed by Shimon before Levi was born, still they consider her to be an Eishas Akhiv Shalaya Baalamo. Uvedinu Deniflag Rav Shimon Bereisha, and really Rav Shimon should have argued in the Reisha, Elanutar Lud Rabbanan Adam Asaimi Lamasayu Vadar Pligi Alayu. But rather he waited until the Rabbanan finished with their whole spiel, and then only does he come and register his descent in the Seifa, not in the Reisha. Tomorrow we're going to discuss, well, if it seems like Rav Shimon is basically impossible to construct a case of Eishes Achav Shalaya Balamo. He doesn't care. Even if Levi was born before Shimon took Ruvain's wife in Yibam, she's still mutter to Levi. So how do we construct a case of Eishes Achav Shalaya Balamo? According to Rav Shimon, that's what we will start with tomorrow.